Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God as He reads the Psalm to us tonight.
Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up to the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their own corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety.
Amen. Thank you, Chance. I appreciate that, son. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to be in the house of God. Thank you, Father, tonight for your people. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord, tonight for the good singing. We pray, our Father, tonight that you'd help us for just a little while. Lord, you know how we're dependent on you, how we trust you, Lord, to do what's needed in the service. Encourage our hearts together. Help us to realize, our Father, that we're living on the threshold of the greatest event that this world has ever seen, the coming of our Lord Jesus for his own. Lord, we pray until that day, Lord, you'd continue to supply the grace that's needed for every trial, for every mile as we walk down here. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us to be a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you tonight. You may be seated. We started this morning preaching out of Psalm chapter number 4. And the thought that got a hold of my heart was in verse number 4 where the Bible said, stand in awe and sin not. And I appreciate so much the Lord's ability to just grip our hearts. You know, you can be reading through your Bible, but then sometimes all of a sudden God just stops you. You can be listening. Brother Don, as much time as you spend on the road, I'm sure you listen to the radio some, maybe listen to a man of God preach or somebody singing, and a phrase just jump out at you. And all of a sudden the Lord allows you to chew on it for a little while. Well, that's kind of what's happened with me in this scripture, in the text. I want you to see several things tonight in the text. I'll come back later, probably not tonight, but I'm going to come back and magnify some of these things in the text. But I want us tonight to understand that the psalmist David, the man after God's own heart, he was amazed by some things. He stood in awe of some things. And the first thing he stood in awe of was his God. He said, the God of my righteousness. I want to tell you tonight, it's a mistake. Listen to me carefully. Even though I'm preaching about some things that happened, we mentioned this morning that, you know, God put Adam to sleep. And when Adam woke up, he was missing a rib, but he gained a wife. And how he must have stood in awe, amen. But if we're not careful tonight, we're waiting to stand in awe of what God does, and we're forgetting to stand in awe for who God is. What God does, beloved, changes in our lives. Sometimes things are just going wonderfully well, and other times they're not going well at all. David was in a time of distress in Psalm 3. He had fled from Absalom, his son. And it wasn't a time of a great rejoicing, so to speak, or time of the mountaintop experience, but David was in a valley. David was going through some trials. Yeah. And I promise you this, if God gives us another year, it's untelling the trials that some of us will go through before we finish the year out. Amen? But one thing will not change. The trials may vary, but one thing will not change, and that is the God of our righteousness. And how tonight the Lord is, I believe, wanting us to understand and magnify in our hearts that though at times we might find it difficult to praise Him for what He does, we should never find it difficult to praise Him for who He is and to stand in awe of who He is. I will say this tonight. If you're saved by the grace of God, you should never be able or be in a place where you would find it difficult to stand in awe of what He's already done. I like what one old preacher said. He said, if God didn't do another thing for me, I believe I'd praise Him while the ages roll. Amen. He saved me. Amen. And tonight, He's coming back for us. The Word of God said, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. So I believe David is a man that stands in awe of the God of heaven. The second thing I want you to see tonight in the text, and I've got just a couple of things that I'm going to go into tonight, I believe. But the second thing I want you to see tonight in the text is I believe that David is standing in awe not only of the God of heaven, the Creator of heaven and earth, but he's standing in awe, Brother Steve, of God's people. The Word of God said in verse number 3, but know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. I want to ask you something tonight. Are you glad to be part of a people that's been set apart? Are you glad to be part of the church of the living God? Beloved, if you've never been saved, you've never been made part of the church, you can join a local assembly. And personally, I believe everybody ought to that's saved by the grace of God. I believe they ought to be baptized. I believe they ought to join a local assembly. I believe they ought to give of their tithes and their offerings and the mission offerings and things of that nature. But listen to me tonight. You can't join God's church. Say amen. You've got to be born into the church of the living God. Beloved, you can't just sign a card or sign a contract or get baptized or give or anything else. You must be born again. And I believe we should never cease to stand in awe of the fact that He came to where we were. And we were saved by the grace of God. And He put us in the church. But one songwriter said years ago, I remember hearing a line in the song. It said, I'm in this church. I didn't join. No, I was born. I had a new birth. Amen. Have you had a new birth tonight? If you have, then you're in the church of the living God. I believe that David stood in awe of the God of heaven. I believe he stood in awe of the fact that he was among God's people. He'd set apart the godly for himself. But then if you look on down in the psalm tonight, I'm just scratching the surface tonight. We'll come back to some of this later in the days ahead. But the Word of God said down here in verse number 6, there be many that say, who will show us any good? I'll ask you something tonight. Are you standing in awe of God's goodness? David, beloved, never got over the fact that God was good. We can have a little saying, and I think it's good to say God is good all the time. All the time God is good. But, beloved, we better stand in awe of the goodness of God. It's God that's given us our health. It's God that's given us our wealth. It's God that's given us our family. I've heard people say, well, no, I did that with my own hands. I want to know this. Who gave you the hands? Who gave you the mind? Beloved, the goodness of God has a design about it. When an individual realizes how good God is, you know what it leads him to do? It leads him to repent. It leads him to the God of heaven. Amen. When he realizes how good God has been to him. Brother Don, I don't know if you've ever experienced this or not, but in the ministry, I'm talking about being a saved man. There was times when I was in a place spiritually that I didn't need to be, and I shouldn't have been. And it was not the rod of God that made me ashamed of myself and caused me to come back. But God smothered me with His goodness, and God caused me to want to run back to the place of blessing. Amen. where that I had departed from. So we see that he's standing in awe of the God of heaven. He's standing in awe of God's people. He's standing in awe of the goodness of God. But I want you to look at verse number 7. The Bible said here, thou hast put gladness in my heart. I want to say this tonight. We were in Sunday school class this morning with Brother Steve. He did a great job teaching out of the book of Philemon. But I want to tell you something tonight. When the Bible said you're the salt of the earth, you know what the Bible said? It said if the salt's lost its savor, it's fit for nothing, just trotted underfoot. You know what a lot of God's people have lost? They've lost the gladness in their heart. Amen. And I'm telling you, beloved, listen, I feel sorry. I hear these stories about preachers that resign every Monday morning and all that stuff. Amen. Whatever happened to the joy of the Lord that's our strength? Whatever happened, beloved, to having gladness in our heart, not just in the house of God, but where we work and in our home? I'm going to tell you something tonight. Your children know whether you've got gladness in your heart. Your grandchildren know whether you've got gladness in your heart. Your co-laborers know whether you've got gladness in your heart. And a whole lot of times your neighbors are going to know whether you've got gladness in your heart. And so David said, stand in awe. I tell you tonight, I believe there's enough right there to preach on till Jesus comes. But tonight I want to give you some examples. We talked about a couple of examples this morning of men that stood in awe. I believe Adam stood in awe when God gave him his wife. I believe that Joseph stood in awe when God exalted him to the next in charge in Egypt. But I want to start tonight with this example. The Bible said to stand in awe. Brother Don, what we tried to magnify this morning is the thought that God put in my heart. If we stand in awe, it will keep us from sin. But if we sin, it will keep us from standing in awe. You can't do both at the same time. There's no way I could be looking over at somebody else's wife and standing in awe of my Creator at the same time. Are you listening to me tonight? There's no way, beloved, listen, that I could turn and go back to the muck and the mire that he pulled me out of and be standing in awe of the Savior all at the same time. I'm going to tell you this tonight. Listen to me carefully. There's no way that I could take this tongue and this mouth and run any of God's people down, run them in the mud, run them in the muck, and be standing in awe of my Savior at the same time. What I'm trying to say is, beloved, if we believe right, it'll cause us to behave right. And if we've got our eyes on Jesus, listen to me. I'm not contradicting the Word of God. The Bible said, let us lay aside the sin and the weight, or the weight and the sin, whichever way it is there, which does so easily beset us. And looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, I'm going to tell you this tonight. Sin would not easily beset God's people if we were looking unto Jesus and standing in awe of what he's done for us. Amen. Jesus didn't come to save us in our sin. He came to save us from our sin. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, beloved, listen. I know there's a lot of pressure on young people. I know in this generation there's a ton of pressure on young people. A ton of pressure on young people. If you don't do this, you don't do that. I'm going to tell you this right now. You better go by this book. You better stand in awe of God. It'll keep you out of trouble. Amen. It'll keep you pure. It'll keep you in a place where God can bless you in your life. Amen. I believe that with all of my heart. Let me think about this. I'm just going as the Lord has spoke to my heart. First of all, I want you to think about the children of Israel. I want you to think they were down there in Egypt. They were making the bricks, and Pharaoh made it harder and harder on them. And God had that little, the judgments would come. I can't go over all of them, but the flies came, and the frogs came, and the lice came. And finally, at last, beloved, death to the firstborn in the land of Egypt. Everywhere that the blood was not applied to the doorpost and the lintel, death came to the firstborn in that house. God said, I'm going to pass through the land of Egypt, and when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. You see, listen to me tonight. I'm going somewhere with this. God delivered them out of Egypt. and they found themselves, listen to me carefully tonight, I'm talking about stand in awe and sin not. They found themselves backed up against the Red Sea. That's where they found themselves. How many believe they thought they was in a heap of trouble? Listen to me carefully. I believe they thought they were in a heap of trouble. And beloved, listen, Moses, he had that direct route to God. And beloved, listen, God told Moses what to do. And Moses did. And you know what God did? Listen to me carefully tonight. He parted the water hither and thither. The Bible said it was a wall of water over there and a wall of water over here. And the Word of God said it was dry land. Beloved, listen, the ground was dry in the middle of it. You say, Pastor, I don't know what you're trying to say. I'll tell you what I'm trying to say. I believe there was a bunch of Israelites looking at that wall. And looking at that wall, and looking at that dry ground, and God, where they just thought, beloved, listen, they were backed into a corner, and they'd never see the light of day again. Beloved, God had made a way, and God had delivered them. And I believe there was a time, Brother Steve, when they were standing in awe. I can see the little children that are coming out of Egypt. Look at that, Daddy. Would you look at that? Have you ever seen anything like that before, Daddy? He's saying, no, son. But I want you to know this, son. God is good. God has made us a way. Can I tell you tonight, beloved, listen, friend of mine, I want to say, God is good. God has made you a way. God has made me a way. And we stand in awe when he does. Watch this now. They didn't stand in awe long, did they? I don't know if it's the children of Israel or if they was the First Baptist Church. What'd they do? They come out on the other side. Ain't that right? And the first thing you know, Brother Steve, they're complaining. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. You can take this for whatever it's worth. But if somebody goes to griping around here, the wisest thing you'd ever do would be to get away from them. Don't you hang around that. If they're going to gripe and they're going to complain, amen, leave them standing and griping by themselves. They got to griping. It grew in the camp. They got to grumbling. He brought us out here in this wilderness to die in the wilderness. Listen to me. God was given a manna from heaven, the Word of God said. That little coriander seed. It had to be collected, beloved, while the frost was still on, while the dew was still on. When the sun come up, it would melt it away. I'm trying to tell you tonight, beloved, they get out there. They ought to have been looking at one another and saying, you know what? Our shoes have never lasted this long before. Can you believe this? We've walked a long way, and I don't have any holes in the soles of my shoe. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? They lasted 40 years is what the Word of God said. Amen. God took care of them. I'm just trying to tell you tonight, listen, we're more like the children of Israel than we want to admit. God saved us by his grace, delivered us from sin. We're going along on the journey, and we think he can't take care of this. He can't take care of that. My goodness tonight, if he saved us, he can take care of anything that we need tonight. He can do it. He can do it. They get to griping. They get to complaining. I'm going to tell you something right now. Let me just word it a different way. They get to sinning. They stood in awe. But now they're sinning against the God of heaven. I tell you tonight, when you and I get to murmuring, most of us have matured enough, most of us. Brother Michael, we don't murmur much with our mouth. But I'm going to tell you, it takes another level of maturity to get to where you never murmur in your heart. God don't want us murmuring. He don't want us complaining. Listen, the same God that was in control when they were backed up against the sea, the same God that was in control when he stood the water up on both sides, it's the same God that was going to take care of them on the other side. A lot of people paint Canaan land as a picture of heaven. Beloved, Canaan land is not a picture of heaven. Beloved, there's still battles. There's still enemies. There's still victories to be won. Canaan land is a picture of the victorious Christian life. And when God's people are not living in victory, it's because they failed to stand in awe of the one that loved us and gave himself for us. I believe with all of my heart tonight. Listen, you get that golden calf. What a mess. There's a whole lot of people in this world got them a golden calf. Be good if God had grind it up and make them drink it. Amen. I'm just telling you tonight, David said, stand in awe and sin not. God has spoke to my heart. God has helped me tonight. Let's go down to Jericho. Here we are in Jericho. And God has told them to march around the city. Y'all know the story. You march around once, first day. You march around again. You march around again. I wonder, I don't know this, I don't have Bible for this, but I wonder if there wasn't somebody up on the wall mocking them. Just look, listen, I'm going to tell you something right now. I can tell you this in this world, young people. You live for God, there'll be somebody up on the wall mocking you. I can't think about trying to help young people to be pure without thinking about the illustration years ago when it happened where a group of girls, there was 8 or 10 different girls, they were in a group, and all of them had given up their sexual purity except for one. They backed that one in the corner, and they were making fun of her, and they were mocking her in a restroom. They were making fun of that young lady, and that young lady with tears, she came out of the corner with her finger pointed and said this. She said, I can be what you are anytime I want to be, but you'll never be what I am again. Oh, dear God, help us. They're up there mocking them. I believe that. I believe at first there might have been a little bit of fear, but as the days went on, I believe the fear died down and they're mocking. Amen. Seventh day, 7 times. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. They didn't just go once today. Wonder what's going on. I wonder, Brother Steve. God said, I want you to march around 7 times, and he said, I want you to shout. I wonder how many of the children of Israel that day stood in awe when they saw those walls, great, big, high, thick walls around the city of Jericho crumble. Olivia likes to get in the middle of the living room floor, and she's got these blocks. When I was little, I had Lincoln logs, and I liked them. I still like the smell of Lincoln logs. Just pull it. It's like coffee, man. Just, I can get high on that. Amen. Them Lincoln logs smell good. But Olivia's got these, they're dainty little blocks. They're little shapes. And, oh, she'll build something so nice. And then comes Sawyer. Does anybody want to know how long it lasts? Not long. Amen. The walls are fixing to come down. Let me say this tonight. They march around there 7 times. And I believe with all of my heart that there was a lot of people in the crowd that stood in awe. Said, can you believe this? Look what God has done. He's given us the city. But there was one, at least one, that I know of. Though he may have stood in awe that day, he didn't stand in awe long enough. Brother Steve, his name was Achan. And Achan took the wedge of gold. He took the Babylonian garment. And he took the silver. Oh, you say, preacher, you ain't got no business preaching like this. Let me tell you something tonight. You want to know why a lot of God's people's got stuff buried in their tent that don't belong in their tent? I'm going to tell you why. They quit standing in awe of the God of heaven. There's people in churches that fear the preacher that don't fear God. There's youngins that fear mom and dad but don't fear God. I'm telling you, beloved, if there's a reverence for God and the things of God, it'll work when nobody's looking. Amen. Here comes Achan. They're going to go to war now down at Ai. I believe Joshua's pretty confident, don't you, Brother Don? He says, boy, God's on our side. He might have quoted Romans 8, if God be for us, who can be against us? The Holy Ghost said Achan, that's who. You know what God told Joshua when they lost? Joshua's crying out to God. He's down on his face. He said, get up. There's sin in the camp. You say, preacher, it's getting quiet. That's all right. I'm telling you right now, we want to have a good year. We want to stand in awe. Anything that's buried in that tent that don't need to be there needs to be got rid of. I'm telling you, beloved, and we need to understand this. Achan thought, that's my business. Brother Rick, he was no longer thinking, that's my business, when his wife and children had to die with him because of his business. I could just see a youngin' looking up and saying, Daddy, why did you do it? God told us not to do it. Joshua told us not to take the spoil. Daddy, why did you do it? I can just see it now. But I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen, God said, there's sin in the camp. Standing in awe will keep us from sin. Sin will keep us from standing in awe. How many knows that's the truth tonight? You done looked at your life enough today to understand. When I got cold and I got indifferent, it wasn't God's fault. I got my heart in the wrong place. I got my eyes in the wrong place. I got my mind in the wrong place. Oh, beloved friend, one more story and I'll be done tonight. I believe it's important that we stand in awe, don't you? Now we're going to talk a little bit about the man that wrote the psalm. His name's David. I believe, Brother Steve, there was day after day after day after day after day that the man after God's own heart stood in awe of the God of heaven. I know one day, Brother Don, when he stood in awe, he was going down there to check on his brethren. His daddy sent him down there with the 10 cheeses to see how his brethren were doing. There was a battle going on down in the valley. There was a giant called Goliath that was coming down every morning and defying the armies of Israel. Send me a man. He's over 9 foot tall. David went down there and he said to his brethren, is there not a cause? David ends up, his brother, I think you say his name Eliab. Is that how you say it, Brother Don? I used to say it Eliab. Then I heard educated men like you say it the right way. Amen. I try to say it the right way. It makes my wife smile when I say something the right way. Amen. Eliab said, I know the naughtiness of your heart. You come down to see the battle. Your pride, I think he said. He mentioned it. I know your pride and the naughtiness of your heart. You've come down here to see the battle. I want to think, it doesn't say in the Word of God, but I want to think that something went on in David's heart, something like this. Boys, y'all been watching for 40 days. I didn't come to watch. I come to win. That's all a lot of people come to church for, is to watch. They don't come to get in. They don't come to win. They don't come to be part of the victory. They just come to watch and see what's going on. Oh, beloved, deliver us from that. I'm preaching to the cream of the crop tonight. I know I am. Amen. Get involved somewhere in what God's doing. Amen. Say, preacher, I don't know why it's important. Well, this day, David's involved. He goes down there to Saul and he talks about the lion. He talks about the bear. They said this uncircumcised Philistine, he ain't going to be no different. Saul gives him his armor. He said, well, that don't fit. I can't go in that. Can I tell you this? Brother Wayne, there's a lot of things that don't fit on God's people. Amen. I was thinking the other day, I made this statement. And somebody said, Brother Jack used to make it all the time. Said, so-and-so ain't got enough clothes on to wad a shotgun. Said, Brother Jack, say that all the time. Some people don't even know what wadding a shotgun means. You pour the powder in, you pour the pellets in, then you have to put a wadding on top of it and tamp it down so they all come out together. Amen. Nowadays they do it for us in them shells, don't they, Brother Mike? Amen. Anyway, they didn't fit. David said, no, I can't go with this. I got to go with something I've proven. I'm going to ask you all a personal question. Have you proven it? The helmet of salvation, does it fit? Feet shod with the gospel of peace, the preparation of gospel, does that fit? The breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. Praying always with all your loins girt about with truth. Praying always in all prayer and supplication. Do those things fit the child of God? They sure do. And beloved, listen to me carefully. We better not go to battle without them. We're going to get our tail whooped if we do. I've heard people say things like, well, I give a devil a black eye. I wouldn't never. I believe I'd side up with Michael the Archangel. He said he wasn't even a match. He didn't even bring a railing accusation against the devil. He said, the Lord rebuke thee. Beloved, tonight, listen. David goes down there in that valley. You say, preacher, what's he doing that day? I'll tell you what he's doing. He's standing in awe. He's remembering the bear. He's remembering the lion. You say, preacher, he ain't got no business remembering that bear and that lion. Well, if you read the story closely, what he's going to tell you is the same God that took care of that bear, took care of that lion, is going to take care of that giant when he gets out there. He's going to stand in awe. He goes out there. That giant said, am I a dog that you come to me with staves? Huh? Do I look like a dog to you? He said, come to me. I'm paraphrasing now, but he's so much as saying, I'm going to chew you up and spit you out. And David, in his heart, he knew he had it all wrong. Because David's confidence was not in David. David's confidence was not in his sling. David's confidence was not in the stone. But David's confidence was in the God of heaven. And David was standing in awe of the God of heaven. And I believe when David whipped that sling around there and turned that stone loose, he said, preacher, he got lucky. Let me help you with that. Way before we ever had a cell phone, God had a GPS system. It was God's positioning system. And God positioned that rock. You say, preacher, I don't know how you can even say that. Well, let me just tell you this. A man over 9 foot tall, you hit him hard enough to kill him in the forehead, he ought to have been falling that way. Which way did he fall? He fell on his face, didn't he? That's why I believe that the veil in the temple wasn't rent from the bottom up, but it was rent from the top down. God wanted us to know it was he that did it. And God wanted everybody that day to know that it wasn't little David. It was little David's big God. And he was standing in awe. Standing in awe and sin not. But there's another day. And I'm about done tonight. Y'all preach me to death today. There's another day. A day when kings went forth to battle. A day when David, Brother Don's not standing in awe. Because had David been standing in awe of God, he wouldn't have looked down there at Bathsheba and said, oh, I'm not trying to be funny. Stand in awe and sin not. I believe if we could talk to the psalmist tonight, he'd say, you're telling them right, preacher. I don't believe David got up that morning and spent time in the Word of God and in prayer. David had let his guard down. And beloved, listen, I think one of the dangers, especially And when you're doing something for God, is God get to blessing you and letting you guard down? Here comes the enemy. God's trying his best to help David. He sends for Bathsheba. I don't believe Bathsheba had ought to have been out there bathing. Say amen. Where somebody could see her. One old preacher said she ought to have pulled the shades. And I believe that's right. But David sends for her. And his servant said to David, before he ever goes, is not this Bathsheba the wife of Uriah the Hittite? He said, preacher, do you really believe that it's important that we stand in awe? Brother Don, I may not be in the ministry this time next year if I don't stand in awe. And Brother Don, he's sitting there thinking something like this, preacher, it ain't just you. It's every one of us. We need to stand in awe. David sends for her. David, you understand, he slept with her, and there was a baby on the way. And it just keeps getting worse. Let me just say this. Laura, standing in awe, things just keep getting better and better and better. One old fella said gooder and gooder, tweeter and tweeter. But I didn't know it was turning to tugger. That's what he said when the doctor told him he had diabetes. Amen. Let me tell you this tonight. Standing in awe, it just keeps getting better and better. But when we stop, and that sin comes on the scene, sin just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. David sends for Uriah. Y'all know the story. I've made a mess now. It may be in the book of Proverbs. Brother Don may know, or Brother Steve, but if we confess our sin, whoso covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso forsaketh or confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall find mercy. That's close to what it says. In other words, when it comes to sin, God said, you cover it and I'll uncover it. Or God said, you uncover it and I'll cover it. I'm not real smart, but I know the best way to go right there. Say amen. Just uncover it. That's what 1 John's about. If we confess our sin, he's faithful, just to forgive us of our sin. We got people in church saying, I'd hate to go to that altar. I'd be worried about what people think. The happiest day in your life be when you get over that. And you get more concerned about what God knows. David, now he sends for Uriah. He has him brought in off of the battlefield. He says, I want you to go down there and enjoy your wife. And he goes down there and he sleeps outside on the steps. He said, I can't do this. My men are out there and they're in danger. I can't remember what you call him. Is it a prime minister in Australia, Brother Don? Is that what his title is? But he's kind of got a lot of pushback now because he stayed in Hawaii while his country was on fire. The continent. That was a bad decision, Brother Don. Amen. That was just a bad decision. And Uriah is saying, I can't go in and have pleasure with my wife, even though it was right in the sight of God and there was nothing sinful about that. He just had such integrity that he just didn't feel like he could go in and have pleasure while his men were on the battlefield in danger. So the next night, David cooks up another scheme. He says, I tell you what I'll do. I'll get him drunk. The Bible, beloved, speaks against putting that bottle to your neighbor's lips. That's the way sin is. It just keeps getting worse and worse. I want to make Miss Eve cringe. It keeps getting worse and worse. Amen. That's the way sin is. That don't work. How many of y'all have ever been in a fight somewhere in your life? Somewhere in your life you've ever been in a fight? A bunch of rednecks. Amen. Especially you, Houston. Amen. I haven't been in many. I've been in some I wish I could forget. But I'll tell you this. You got two groups of people, David says, here's what he tells Joab. He said, I want you to put Uriah. He said, you find the hottest part of the battle, Justin. You find a place, where it's on. And he said, I want you all to march up there with him. And then he said, retire from him. In other words, all of y'all are going to know we're going to get right there in the hottest part of the battle, and then we're all going to turn tail and run and leave Uriah standing there by himself. What kind of man could do something like that, Brother Don? A man that stopped standing in awe of the God that he served. Tonight, young people, mom, dad, mamma, papa, there's nothing that we're not capable of doing if we stop standing in awe of the God of heaven. I believe, I never thought about it like this till just now. Spirit of God's sweet, isn't he? But David goes on for about a year, might be 13 months, I think, as I've studied it out. And David thinks, you get to the end of chapter 12 there, and the Bible said, but the thing which David did displeased the Lord. David thinks he's got it covered up, and there's a man comes on the scene by the name of Nathan. Nathan starts telling him a story about a poor man. He's got a little lamb. He lays down with that lamb. It's his pet. It's just like a son to him. There's a rich man, he's got all kinds of lambs. And a traveler comes by, and they take the poor man's lamb, and they kill it, and they dress it. David hears that story, and he swells up, just like Baptists do sometimes. It's easy to swell up when it's somebody else's sin. Say amen. He swells up and he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, the man that's done this thing shall surely die. I never thought about this before. But Nathan said, thou art the man. Could it be, Brother Don, that for the first time in 13 months, he stood in awe that God had his number. Even though he thought he had it hidden, God had his number. Beloved, David was a man after God's own heart, but you mention his name, you mention his name anywhere. And most Baptists don't even know that more people died as a result of David's rebellion than David's sin with Bathsheba. They think adultery, rebellion, well, that ain't too bad. That's just part of growing up. The Bible says that's the sin of witchcraft. In your life or my life. In your children's life or my children's life. In your grandchildren's life or my grandchildren's life. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with thine own heart. I've got enough confidence in the Holy Spirit to know that God will take this message today and he'll allow me to lay down some this week and it'll grow in my heart. He'll speak to my heart. He may point something out that needs to be pointed out. But I've made up my mind I want to spend a little bit more time being still so that he can have access. As I meditate upon him and meditate upon his word, meditate upon his goodness and stand in awe. How many's glad you come tonight? How many believes God's trying to help us in our new year? Stand in awe. I'll be honest with you. I never did think I would see the year 2020. I'm not talking about my age. I'm talking about the condition of the world and looking for the coming of the Lord. This could be the hour we've been waiting for. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Lord, may we take the Word of God home with us tonight and chew on it. May the word of God in the necessary places chew on us. May it be like a sharp, two-edged sword, dividing asunder the joints and the marrow, the soul and the spirit. May it discern the thoughts and the intents of our heart. Father, tonight we love you. We thank you for our people. God, you're trying to help us. I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd help us to be a help in this year to your precious people. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed tonight.